We're so glad to see all of you today and welcome you. Welcome those worshiping with us online. My name is Joe Lay. Yeah, and so all month I've been watching our associate ministers preach, and I've been celebrating with them. I've been praying for them. I've been encouraging them. And what a great job they did. Weren't they wonderful? They're very talented. I was really proud of them. Now, we're starting a new series today. It's called Amazing Promises. We're going to talk about the promises of God this month and next month. And today, we're going to be talking about generosity and giving. And that's one of the first places because that's mentioned more than anything else in the Bible when you look at the amazing promises of God. Now, to get started with that, I've got a story to tell you. You know, we were on vacation. We went to Birmingham. We saw our daughter Elizabeth and our son-in-law Rob and our granddaughter Collins. We also, we go wherever we go because of doctor's appointments. Laura had a doctor's appointment in Birmingham. We visited family. I had a doctor's appointment in Pensacola. We visited Catherine and her boyfriend Braden over there. Went to dinner, spent the night over there. And so we're back. But I wanted to tell you that Collins, after we had dinner, it was Collins and Laura and Elizabeth and me. And so she decided she was going to play, but we were going to play with her. We were involved in her imagination. And so right there in the family room, she set up an SUV. She took six chairs, two, two, and two. She put them together. She got some bar stools. She put one in between the front two seats. She put a towel over that. She told us that was the console of the SUV. She put a drawer down in the bottom of that so we could put things in it if we wanted. She put bar stools in front of us, and that was the dashboard. And she took her iPad and she took a picture of a dashboard, and she had a radio on there because we're going to listen to the radio. Then she took my iPad and she put up the speed limit, which was 30 miles an hour. We weren't going anywhere fast, so we had that there. Then she had these little pillows, these little throw pillows. She put those in our laps because she said those were our seat belts. We had to wear them. The golden retriever that she put in the back end, we all had to participate. We all had a seat. We were laughing. We were trying to talk to each other. She wouldn't let us do that. We had to listen to her. And then she had some dominoes, and that was the money. And then she owned the gas station. And so for the gas station, she had an empty Coke can, and that was the pump for the gas. And so she said, now you just come up here and pay me. And then she told me how much her gasoline cost. And I immediately traded my car for a Tesla. I can't afford her gasoline. It was an exorbitant price. She was going to make big bucks off of us. Now, all three of them, Rob, Elizabeth, and Catherine Collins, all had a birthday in the month of July. So Honey and Buddy had already taken care of that, but she was adding to get some more. She also had one of her piggy banks that she had when she was little. It was a rocking horse. It was kind of in a circle, and she told me that was my steering wheel. So we had an SUV, and I thought to myself, you know, if people are driving by and they look in our windows and see us with an SUV in our family room, they're going to wonder where we're going. They may want to come and go with us until they find out about the gas prices because they won't want to chip in for that. Well, you know, stewardship is not so much about what we get, but it's about what we give. It's also about once giving, how much we have left. A lot of times we think we've given sacrificially, but we have an awful lot left. And so God wants to teach us, what does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to be giving? You know, there are over 8,000 different promises in the Bible about the promises of God. And there, you know, if you've got an insurance policy, you don't worry about things being taken care of. But if there is no insurance policy or you don't know what's covered, then you're concerned about that. Well, one of the problems is that people don't know God's promises. So we're going to be talking about that for the next several weeks. And I want to begin with just three quick, really quick points as we get into this message together. First, God wants me to build my life on His promises. Now, God's promises are not petty rules, but they are great promises. And anything God wants for us, you know it's good. And so we want to learn what they are and practice them. Number two, God makes two kinds of promises, conditional and unconditional. Unconditional promises, there are no strings attached. It's just unconditional. Conditional promises says, you do your part, I'll do my part. So he's got two different kinds. Then third, God makes promises for us for two different reasons. So he makes them for two different reasons, and they are to teach us to trust him in difficult times and to make us more like himself. The psalmist says, when I am hurting, I find comfort in your promises that lead to life. And then he also says, you are my defender and protector. I put my hope in your promise. Now, God gives us promises so we trust him, and so he helps us get through tough times and also to make us more like him. The Bible says in 2 Peter, God made great and marvelous promises so his nature would become a part of us. He wants us to have his nature, Christian, Christ-like. Do we reflect Christ and who we are and what we say and do? He wants us to reflect him. And then also it says the more you trust his promises, the more God can change your life. You see, when we trust, we step out on faith. We do things that are biblical that he calls us to do because we trust him, and he changes us. He makes us more like him. We grow. And there are more promises about generosity and giving in the Bible than anything else. He does that first because God is generous, and he wants us to become like him. In 1 John, it says, from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. And second, he wants us to learn generosity because he knows that giving is hard, and he wants to help us fight against selfishness. We don't need to just look at things from the perspective of, I'm going to have a gas company, I'm going to sell gas, I'm going to get all I can out of Honey and Buddy, you know, when they come in to get gas. But rather, he wants us to look beyond ourselves and see what we can give him and see what we can give others. And so there are nine rewards to God's promises. First, God's promises, good things will happen to me when I'm generous. Good things will happen to me when I'm generous. The Bible says in Psalms, good will come to those who are generous. I didn't make that up. That's biblical. In Proverbs, it says, generous people will be blessed because they share their food with the poor. So God promises that good things will happen to me when I am generous. Second, God promises my children will be blessed if I learn to give like God gives. The psalmist says, they are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. So God blesses not only you, but he also blesses your children when you're generous. Number three, God promises he will bless my work and my business. He will bless what I do. I will prosper. The proverb says, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of your income. Now, that's called tithing. Tithing is the first 10% of all we receive. So we honor God with the first part of our income. Look at the person beside you and say, have you ever learned tithing? Ask them that right now. What did they say? Okay, and here's the promise. And he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. Now, I know you're sitting there and you're saying, you know, I've got some property and I've got some, I own a house and I've got some outbuildings. I don't have a barn here in Panama City Beach. I don't have a lot of wheat and barley. What's he talking about? What he's talking about in the context of biblical times, what he's saying is that most people were farmers, and they could look in your barn and they could see how you had prospered in business. God is saying, when you are generous, I will prosper your business. Proverbs says, a generous man will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The person who is generous will profit and be blessed in what he does. Deuteronomy says, give freely and spontaneously, Don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle matters like this triggers God. You're God's blessings in everything you do, all your work and ventures. And so he's teaching us, hey, if we're generous, God will bless us. He'll bless our kids. He'll bless our job. And I just want to say to you, we're having one of the best years we've ever had as a church financially. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness and the abundance of your giving and your growing and your desire to be pleasing to the Lord and just to do what he asked you to do, because we're grateful for that. And we're grateful for the We Care ministry. Today you'll get a chance to give to that. It's our food pantry. It's all volunteers. I want to thank you for that. Over $70,000 you give every year above and beyond the budget. You do that to help people in need. You know, if we help people financially with something material, we might be able to get a chance to help them spiritually, giving them spiritual food as a result of that. And so what a blessing that is. And then God promises, number four, you'll be happier. Do you like to see happy people coming? Don't you? Don't you say, oh, there they come. They just lift me up. Every time I see that person, I just feel better when they come. That's better than the other way around, isn't it? Oh, no, here they come. Look away. Maybe they'll go somewhere else. Well, have you ever noticed that happy people are generous people? They are, because they're happy because they're doing what God has asked them to do, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be a blessing to other people. Acts says, and Luke is talking here, remember that our Lord Jesus said, more blessings come from giving than from receiving. And so we want to be blessed. We want God to bless us, our kids, our business, our families. Number five, God promises my influence will increase. The book of Proverbs says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And here's what I think's happening. When you and I are generous, and when we seek to make friends of other people, maybe who are far from God, we can be a blessing to them. And they can learn from our experience and our witness, and they can then begin to follow God as well. And maybe they'll make a commitment to God. And you know, from doing that, we'll make more friends. Did you ever think about that? All the friends that you'll have in heaven, a lot of that depends on how open you are to other people, how you reach out to them, how you care for them, how you minister to them. You say, well, there's some people that I know that I don't want to be with in heaven. They're just people that are difficult. They're people who are hard to get along with. Well, guess what? You're going to spend eternity with them, so you might as well get used to it now and start spending time with them. Maybe you'll rub off on them. Maybe you'll be positive and be uplifting to them. And so God promises it'll just get bigger and bigger if you'll do what I call you to do. God says, I will end up with more. You see, you can't outgive God. God says, when you give to me and when you give to others, I will give back to you. And I will bless you. Luke says this, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, think about it. In those days, if you had a sack and you were collecting grain, God says, I'm just going to fill it up. He said, now shake it together. Press it down. Let's make sure we fill it up. I'm going to give you more than you can use. Feeding the 5,000, what happened? Did they have enough food? They started out with very little. They had plenty of food. Did they run out at the end? No, they had 12 baskets full left over. God says, listen, I've got it all. I can take care of it. I'll bless you. I'll give you more than you can imagine. He said, shake it down. Press it down. Now, get ready, because I'm just going to overflow it if you do what I call on you to do, whether it's grain or coins or whatever it is. God wants to give you more than you can hold. And the way he gives is the way that you give. You see, God says, you do it first, then I'll do it next, and I'll show you what it means to be generous. Why? because we cannot be like Christ without giving. When we give, it's a blessing, isn't it? When we go and we spend time with our granddaughter, we love to give to her. It was her birthday. We wanted to give to her. You know, here's what you know. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. It does our heart good to give to our children and our grandchildren, to give to our family, to give to those in need. It's a blessing. It's wonderful. Do you know how to spell love? G-I-V-E. That's the way you spell love. Give, and it will be given to you. The way you give to others and God, you'll be blessed by it. Proverbs says this, some people give much, but get back even more. Others don't give what they should and end up poor. He's saying you determine what you get back. The ball's in your court. You get to choose. Proverbs says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and will receive reward. He will reward them for what they have done. In other words, when we're helping other people, it's really a loan, because God is going to give it back to us. Giving is an investment because he pays us back. When you're generous to the poor, it's like lending to God. He blesses us. One translation says, and God pays great interest on your loan. You like to get back a high rate of interest? Yeah. Well, this is a great place to do it for all eternity. Number 7, God promises to meet all my needs. He says, I'll meet your needs, not your greed, but all of your needs. He said, give open-hearted. He said, give open-handed. The reason I'm teaching this is because I love you, and I want you to put it into practice, and I want you to be blessed. I know that good comes from giving, and God will not let you down. You cannot outgive God. The Bible says in Philippians, I want you to have the good that comes from giving. My God will use his wonderful riches in Christ Jesus to give you everything you need. God will supply your need. The scripture also says in Proverbs, those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. I don't want to be cursed. Do you? Hey, listen, I want to bless people, and I want to be blessed by God. You'll lack nothing emotionally, physically, spiritually, or mentally if you learn how to give to the poor. That's why I'm so grateful for the We Care ministry. 2 Corinthians says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. In other words, nobody can tell you what to give except God's word. God teaches you what to give. And he says, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives grudgingly. Is that what he says? No, he says cheerfully. So if you ever feel pressured to give, don't give. Even if it's me, if you think, I don't want to pressure you, if you feel like that, don't do it. You won't get credit for it. He says, I don't want you to give it grudgingly. I want you to give it cheerfully. In fact, the Greek word there that he uses for cheerfully is hilarious. It's where we get the word hilarious. Can you think about, I'm giddy because I get to give. Did you know that when you go to Africa in worship, what they'll do when it's time for the offering, it's the highlight of the service, and those African people will run to the altar. They will be laughing. They will be so thankful. This is my chance to give to God. Just like little children, they say, I want to put my offering in. Your parents say, well, I'll give it for you. No, I want to do it myself. They love to give. Those African people, they're like little children. I want to give back to God because he's blessed me. When I was in Opelika, Alabama, I had a preacher friend. We were on the Salvation Army board together. His name was Clifford Jones. And Clifford Jones served an African-American church in Opelika. And I took the Sunday after Christmas off one year. I said, Clifford, are you preaching? He said, yeah. I said, I'm coming to your church. He said, come on. I love Clifford. He did so many wonderful things. I went to his church when it was time for the offering. This is what he said. Now, if you're tithing, I want you to get up and bring God's tithe down here and put it on the offering table. And I said, wow. And people got up and they went up front and they gave the tithe to God. He said, now for those of you who are giving, we will pass the plates. And I said, Clifford, you taught me something today. I'm going to go back and tell my church. The next Sunday I went back and I told Trinity, I went to Clifford's church. And I learned something new I'd never learned before. He said, if you're tithing, you come up front and give it. If you're giving, then we'll pass the plates. And I think we ought to implement that here at Trinity Church. And you know, it was no time until those folks gave me a one-way U-Haul gift certificate to Panama City Beach. They said, we're going to miss Laura and the girls, but you can head on to the beach. Now, those people knew how to tithe. They did it. They practiced it. But what a blessing. Can you believe that? It was so wonderful. Now, there's a premise and a promise here that I want you to see. And God will generously provide all you need, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. He said, if you're a cheerful giver, that's the premise, you give, and I'll make sure that you've always got what you need. That's the promise. Now, number eight, God promises he will multiply what we give. We saw that with the feeding of the 5,000. He multiplied it. Jesus took it, he broke it, he blessed it, and he multiplied it, and they were in awe of all that was there. What more do you need to give to God? You need to give to him first, show him you trust him, tithe, and he will bless you. If you need more energy, then give some energy to God this week. If you need more time, then give some time to God this week in service. And when you plant a seed, what do you get back? You get back more than you plant. 2 Corinthians says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. God says, I give you what I give you so you'll have enough to share. When I was on vacation, I listened to all of our preachers preach, but I listened to another preacher preach one day. And he said something that was so touching to me. He said that he and his whole family went to dinner. And he said they were on vacation, and so they sat there, and they didn't have enough servers. And he said to his server, listen, don't worry about us. You help these other people, and when you get time, we'll tell you what we need. You take care of us because we're not in any big hurry. And he said she looked at him like she could not believe it, and she was so grateful that he was so understanding. And then when they finished their meal and she brought the check, he gave her a tremendous tip. I mean, it was way above what most people would give for a tip. And she looked at it, and she could not believe it. And she said, why did you do this? And he said, because God wants you to know that he loves you. You see, she knew where that came from. She knew it came from God. She knew that God was paying attention. She knew that God was blessing her. There have been times in my life when God has blessed me so much, I've been humbled by it. I could not believe what he was doing. It was like take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. It was at a time when we really needed the resources that he provided. It was at a serious time. It was at a difficult time. It was in a painful time. And God said, did you think that I wasn't paying attention to you? I was paying attention. I keep up with you. I know the details of your life. I know your needs. And I'm right here. And let me tell you, he proved it to us in a very, very powerful way. in a very, very difficult time. We had been tithing. We had been giving faithfully. But we were going through infertility. And we were spending all our money trying to get pregnant. And I mean hundreds and hundreds of dollars every month. And we didn't have that kind of money. And we were going down the drain financially. And then God just gave us a tremendous gift. And he said, I see what's going on. I know your needs. I'll take care of you. And all we could do was just say thank you. We knew it came from him. There's no doubt in our mind. And so giving is not a debt I owe. Giving is a seed I sow. And it teaches me to trust God. And then I'm blessed by him. And I have a witness to share with others. When you plant a seed, you don't just get one back. You plant a seed of corn, you get back all kinds of kernels of corn, don't you? Hundreds of kernels of corn. It's the principle of multiplication. And when you give, he blesses and he multiplies it. Any money I spend on myself, it's just gone with the wind. But when I plant a seed, then there's a time for the harvest. 2 Corinthians says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The ball's in your court. You determine what God's going to do for you. You determine the size of your harvest. God allows you to decide. He leaves it up to you. Seeds take time to grow. There's a season to plant, and then there's a season to harvest, right? And the reason for that is that God wants us to trust him. It's going to take a little time. It's not going to be immediate, but it's going to come to fruition. Ecclesiastes says, be generous, and someday you will be rewarded. I'm giving you a testimony today. I'm telling you the truth. That scripture is a real promise from God. There's always a delay because God wants us to learn to trust him. Now, you can give by two ways. You can give by reason, or you can give by revelation. When you give by reason, you look in a bank account, you see how much you think you have left over, and then you say, well, I guess I can let God have that, and you give him that. Listen, even a person who is an unbeliever can do that. You don't have to be a Christian because you don't have to have any faith to do that. But when you give by revelation, you say, Lord, what do you want me to give? You listen to what his word says. You do what he teaches you to do, and you tithe, and you trust him. And then he says, now, because you did that, your faith is going to grow. That's why I wanted you to do it. It's not about what he receives. It's about what we receive. And our faith grows because of it. And number nine, God promises my giving is stored up in heaven. 1 Timothy says this, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need. Always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It's the only safe investment for eternity. You know, people have accounts and securities. They call them securities, but sometimes your 401k becomes a 101k. It's not that secure, is it? Anything you send on ahead to God, you can bank on it. It's going to be secure. It's going to be there. Five times the Bible says, store up treasure in heaven. In Luke, Jesus says, here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and to make friends. He's talking about eternal friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you into your eternal home. All the friends you make now, some of them may be far from God. Some of them may be eternal friends because you've been a witness. You've been an influence to them. They're going to be in heaven and they're going to say, thank you for telling me about Jesus so I could be saved too. That means that you invest in other people. people will say to you, I'm your friend for all eternity. And there's a lot of truth to that. The premise is, if you put God first in money, then I promise I will meet your need. Investing in good things, helping people in Christ, helping people grow. So really it comes down to this. Do you believe the promises of God? Look at the person next to you and ask them that question. Do you believe the promises of God? If you're not tithing the first part of your income back to God, that's where you need to start with generosity. The first part of everything you make belongs to God. Now, you use that, and he says, I will bless that. Malachi says this, and it's God talking. Will mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that's where we worship, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So the rebuke is, you're not tithing. The reward is, test me, try me. I promise you'll like it. And then the scripture goes on and says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. That's why tithing is so important to your spiritual growth. Because it unlocks all the promises of God that we've talked about today. Let's pray together. Father, we just come to you and thank you for your promises. We thank you for teaching your promises to us. We thank you for blessing our children, for blessing us, for blessing our work, for making us happier. We thank you for allowing our influence to reach other people so that they can experience you as well. Lord, we trust you to meet our needs. We believe that you will multiply what we give. Today we commit or recommit to giving you the first 10% of all that you promised to give to us. And if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, Jesus is the answer to all the promises. Just say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart and life. Fill me with your love. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And we humbly pray that prayer together. In the name of Jesus, and all God's children said, I'm going to ask those who are assisting with the communion to come forward if they would today. And as they do that, let me just say to you that today you're invited to come. You have an invitation. But before you come to communion, what we say is, what you need to do is confess your sins. So you're invited to come and receive a meal from God. Now you confess your sins to him and ask him to forgive you. Then when you come and receive it, you say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me and for the way you've forgiven me. And then after that, once you've done that, you leave here. And this week, God has divine appointments for you to minister to other people. And so when you leave here, you go out to do God's business, to be his witness. You've been in his house. You've been with him. You've been blessed. He's changed you. You're better because of it. Now, how can I share that with other people? And so you go back out. Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room. He said to them, this is my body that is for you. And what he did was he broke it, and it was the bread, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them. And also he said, this is the cup. This is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And so he gave that to them as well. He said, drink this, all of you. In remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we do that today. We're thankful. You don't have to be a member of the church. You can accept the invitation. You can confess your sins. You can come forward and receive today. As the ushers direct you, you're invited to come.
Here in the front, there's also a station in the cafes.